Let's get to David Chow, our guest for the half hour. David is Asia Pacific ex-Japan strategist at Invesco. He joins from Hong Kong. David, kind of fortuitous that you're with us on a day where we're seeing pretty much a meltdown in Chinese-related assets. We were talking earlier about these two COVID-related deaths, just two, and the knee-jerk response is to sell the market. Is this an overreaction?
Well, I think that this comes on the heels of MSCI China. The index was up 12% in the past five trading days and up 24% November month to date. So perhaps this is a bit of markets taking a breather. And I've always thought that China's reopening would take a much longer time. And we're going to see fits and starts, as we're seeing in certain parts of China. And so I think investors should buckle up for this reopening play.
Buckle up indeed. If the experience of other countries is any guide, this is just the thin end of the wedge in China, unless they lock down severely again. So which of these two outcomes do you think is going to happen, and which is worse?
Well, I think that the lockdowns are going to perhaps be less sparse or more targeted. And the government has already announced recent measures to loosen up some of these stringent COVID policies. And I expect that to transpire going forward. I don't see any real meaningful reopening in China until perhaps after the dual sessions in March, April timeframe.
Did it surprise you that the PBOC left the benchmark lending rate to the loan prime rate, at least the 1 year, unchanged at 3.65%?
It didn't, because if you really think about it, cuts of 5 basis points here, 10 basis points there, it hasn't really moved the needle over the past year. We've seen loosening monetary policy. Now, what really moves the needle is a uptake in credit. And so consumers and also businesses feeling more confident in taking out loans. We've started to see a bit of that move. And also what really moves the needle is fiscal stimulus. And the government has instituted a significant amount of infrastructure investments over this past year. And I think that they're looking at the economic data to see if they need to implement any more.
Another challenge that other economies have had to overcome as they reopen is resurgent inflation. Do you see this occurring in China?
That is the one potential black swan that we may see next year with China reopening. Certainly, I would expect CPI in China to tick up meaningfully over the next year. And that's perhaps one risk that's not being watched too closely. But current inflation and inflation expectations remain well anchored in China.
And David, I mentioned there the very disappointing first 20 days of exports or trade for South Korea. But you see some upside for Korea, particularly tech. Can you give us the bull case?
Sure. I would say that it's not surprising that we see a bit of softness due to kind of the global macro backdrop deteriorating. And I continue to expect that, say, over the next few months. Especially as the Fed continues to hike, we're seeing Asian central banks also hike in response. Now, what I think that investors will be able to see through, and already we've seen Korean equities rally significantly over the past couple of weeks, I think that investors will be able to see through this soft patch that's occurring right now. And especially as the semiconductor cycle is at the bottom right now, I think that this presents a buying opportunity.
So with relatively elevated inflation in South Korea, we have a BOK decision this week. There had been some debate as to whether or not the tightening would be 25 or maybe even 50 basis points. What do you think is going to happen this week from the BOK? I mean, the won has been very weak. That could be a positive. If you tighten, I mean, maybe that'll reverse course.
Well, I think that a lot of this is contingent on what the trajectory of the Fed is. And certainly all central bankers in Asia are trying to figure out what the tightening path that the Fed is going to take and if we're going to see a downshift or even a pause. And I'd say that many central banks in Asia would actually be pausing already, given kind of the deteriorating macro backdrop. But I think this is kind of a wait and see period.
And what's the outlook for the yuan under these circumstances?
Well, the won has actually appreciated over the past couple of weeks, given kind of a risk on appetite But given the plummet in the exports number and also the narrative that China's reopening could take a little longer and could be a bit disruptive, I think that we could potentially see some of the depreciating effects on the yuan.
We don't often talk about the market in Malaysia, but we did have the weekend elections producing a hung parliament. One of the things that I was struck by, given the success of the Islamic Party, PAS, you know, the single party with the most seats now, gaming, alcohol-related stocks moving lower in today's session. What is your outlook for Malaysia?
Well, I think that... unlike in the U.S., where I think investors tend to like a divided government for checks and balances, I think when investors look at Malaysia, we certainly appreciate when there's a lot more policy certainty. Now, with this hung government, I think that this means that there are tough negotiations ahead in order to form the next government. And I think the big change was likely for the Malaysian budget. So while policies could remain populist for a longer period of time. And I think that this is something that investors have to weigh.
Yeah, but to Doug's point, PAS is a very conservative Islamist party. They are known for pushing Sharia law, bans on alcohol. Could Malaysia be heading in an exciting new direction?
Well, I think that there's no clear direction in terms of which party is going to take lead. And there's certainly going to be a need to build coalitions. And I think that this, there's going to be a bit of political uncertainty and that this could potentially weaken the Malaysian currency in the near term.
David, we just got a few minutes left. I'm wondering what you consider your biggest risk is out there at the moment. Is it recession, stagflation, or something else?
Well, I think that the biggest risk could potentially be that the inflation levels in the U.S. are persistently high and that the Fed may have to keep monetary conditions more stringent and tighter for a longer period than expected. And this will certainly have an impact on both global growth and especially in places like in Asia, especially the export-oriented economies.
Mm-hmm. All right, David Cha, Asia-Pacific ex-Japan strategist Adam Vesco, thanks so much for joining us.